Archer's Omnibus for the week 24 to 29 October 1999.
Great pair of thighs, Debbie.
Sorry?
You're keeping up a killing pace in all this mud.
Oh, I thought we were back with Robin Hood.
That too. I feel like I'm wearing lead boots. Look at me. I'm covered in the stuff.
You're clotted up.
Clotted. Another quaint old English word from my collection. So, what do we think of the winter wheat?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Better than you expected or worse?
Well, doesn't seem to be too much slug damage.
Good.
Oh, I wish I'd insisted the police brought Dad's car back.
Now, come on, Debbie, leave it alone. What time are your Mum and Dad due back?
Oh, I don't know. But I wouldn't think it'd be too late. Dad's in court giving evidence tomorrow.
Well, don't worry so much. He should congratulate you in your community spirit.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Something wrong?
Yeah. Rabbits have been at it. If they've had a go at this, I bet they've had a go at the rape as well.
What do we have to do? Shoot them?
No, it's a bit near to the cover crops Greg put down for the pheasants. What I'll probably do is get Eddie to come up with his ferrets. I could do without it.
Your dad can hardly blame you for there being a few rabbits around.
And before they left, Mum was going on and on about how relaxed he'd be when he got back. And the minute he hears about his precious car, he'll hit the roof.
Look, the police have told you it hasn't been damaged.
Yeah, but I should have got it back.
Debbie, you did what you had to do. Look, I'll stand by you.
Oh, great.
Okay, I know. Oh, that's better. Look, are we still going over to Elizabeth and Nigel's?
Why, they invited us.
The opening of the art gallery.
Oh, that.
You'd forgotten.
If I ever meet the person who stole it.
I think a couple of hours looking at pictures.
Yeah, it'd be great.
You were telling me how hard Elizabeth had worked. Now where are you going?
Look at the next field.
Check out those pesky bunnies?
Well, they usually prefer royal seed, but... Oh, do you think it could be the police?
Bit early on the Sunday for a social call.
Excuse me, Sammy.
Okay.
Hello, Debbie Aldridge.
Oh, Debbie, thank goodness for that.
Hi, Dad.
What on earth's going on?
Where are you?
I'm at Waterloo. I've just tried to get into my car, and I've been jumped on by half the Metropolitan Police.
Your car?
Yes, and they took a hell of a lot convincing it was mine.
The mug?
Have you any idea what an idiot I've been made to look at?
I would...
And what on earth are you doing reporting it stolen?
Yeah.
All I can say is you'd better have a decent explanation when I get home.
Dad, he's rung off.
What was that about his car?
From what I gather... He was the person who left it at Waterloo.
What time's Tickham arriving to mind the car park?
About half an hour.
Is that all the time we've got?
Lizzie, don't panic.
Well, I'm not, but if we've only got...
I asked him to come in early in case there were any last-minute emergencies.
What sort of emergencies?
I wanted to make sure that all the bases were covered.
Why, is there something I've forgotten?
Of course not. I just thought...
Oh, you want to make sure I don't overdo it.
I know you can have a rest after the opening.
It does look good in here.
Hard to believe it was once a derelict old barn.
Liz has done it. Is that Alex Winter straight?
Looks it to me.
I'm not sure.
You went round them with a spirit level last night.
Yeah, but from this angle...
You put these in bowls, and I'll make sure some poltergeist hasn't come in and rehung the pictures while we're asleep. It must have been up very late the time you went to bed.
Where's Julia? If she did this, I could check on the loos.
The loos are fine. This looks straight when you're directly in front of it.
It must be the one of poppies next to it.
I'm still amazed you've agreed to hang these.
Because I think they'll sell.
I wouldn't buy a painting by a cow.
Not even if it was by Ellie Mae.
Oh.
The thing is, Nigel, even if they don't sell, they're great publicity. Did I tell you that Borchers Recker wants to take a picture of Poppy?
Yes. Are you going to tell Jerome Deakins, or am I?
Well, if Jerome wants to be tied to a tree in the middle of the car park.
Is that where we're putting Poppy?
Well, we can't have a cow in the middle of the gallery.
Perhaps it wouldn't be a good idea with our new floor. But Jerome's not going to be happy if she gets all the publicity.
Well, he can always hang one of his pictures on the tree behind her. Oh,
is your back hurting?
Just a bit.
Oh, please, you will sit down if you need to.
Of course I will.
I don't want you exhausting yourself.
All I'm going to do is walk round, chat to a few people, and stick a few sold dots on.
I'm keeping charge of them.
Nigel!
If there's any trekking back and forth to be done, Mummy and I are going to do it. Nice crisps?
Sorry.
Don't worry, there are plenty more.
Oh, I hope we get a good turnout.
I'm sure we will, but I've got one apology for you.
Who?
Jack and Peggy.
Oh.
Well, Peggy feels that she should spend the afternoon at Bridge Farm.
Of course.
It's going to be a terrible week for everyone involved in the trial.
Well, wish there was something we could do.
It's all in the hands of the lawyers now.
Tommy was absolutely hyper at the harvest supper.
But there is one piece of good news. We've got the rest of the money for the bells.
I didn't realise you could raise that much from a barn dance.
There was still a bit of a shortfall, but Jack, being Jack, has offered to make up the rest.
Well, that's terrific.
As he said on the phone, he was always very fond of Tom and Prue. What it is to have such a close family.
Hmm. Not so close for some at the moment.
Okay, print.
Ah! So this is where you're hiding.
Oh, yeah, I was just checking out some venison prices.
Gibby, what on earth did you think you were doing reporting the Merc stolen? I mean, my mother and I get back from France, and the next thing is we're practically put into handcuffs.
Yeah, I've been trying to work it out since you phoned.
You're not the only one.
But you went off in Mum's car.
Yes, we did. But the damn thing broke down on the bypass.
Mum's car broke down?
Yeah, that's why I came back and picked up the Merc.
You came back here?
Of course we did. What I want to know is what you thought you were playing at.
Dad, you seem to think I'm some sort of mind reader.
Look, if we get a bill for wasting
police
time...
Hang on a minute. Can you just tell me what happened the day you and Mum left?
What I told Kate.
You left a message with Kate?
Yeah. After all the thefts that'd be in the village, I didn't want to think it had been stolen.
Oh, that explains everything. She didn't give me the message.
What?
And before you say you could kill her, I'm first in the queue.
I don't believe this, Debbie. She promised me she'd give it to you as soon as she saw
it. No, she went off with friends the same day you did.
Without saying anything?
Nothing. She's gone away until after Halloween.
But you're supposed to have phoned the garage about your mother's car.
Look, I could hardly do that when I didn't know what had been going on, could
I? Absolutely typical.
Well, you should know what Kate's like when it comes to messages. I mean, you could have rung to check that she'd given it to me.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was necessary.
Dad, I had no idea.
Oh, good grief. Well, it's a good thing Kate's not here the way I feel at the moment.
Just wait till she gets back. She's not going to know what's hit her.
At least I won't have to run the gauntlet of her and her eco-pals when I walk into court tomorrow. One should be grateful for small mercies, I suppose.
No, even Kate's sensible enough to know that once the case comes to court, she and her mates can't make any difference.
As if they ever could. Yeah, I could have sworn I'd put them in here.
What are you looking for?
Those notes I made about the trashing. I could have sworn they were on the top.
Oh, I think I might have moved them.
Why?
Well, I was trying to find the details of the car tracking firm.
Oh, yeah, Debbie, one more thing.
Hmm?
When I came back for the Merc, it was in the middle of the yard. How did that come about?
Isn't that typical? I get Lizzie a chair and she vanishes.
If you don't mind me saying so, I think she's a bit big to vanish. She's outside with Eddie and the photographer from the Echo.
Ah, Poppy's a big moment.
Eddie spent half the morning grooming her.
You've never heard of the dishevelled artist, look.
Can you look at the prices that Jerome Deakins is charging? You'd think he could have made a bit more effort.
He likes to make a statement. Ah, here they are. Lizzie, come and sit down.
How did it go?
The photographer says he's got some really good shots.
Said it was the first time I've ever met a Jane that could paint.
I wouldn't exactly call it painting.
It's art, Carrie. And the good news is that I've sold one.
You never!
There, which one?
Have you put a sticker on it?
No, because I was getting a chair for you.
Wait, forgive me the dots.
I thought I'd made myself perfectly clear on that. Now, will you sit down before someone else takes this chair?
Give it here, I'll go and stick it on.
That's very good of you, Eddie, but...
Oh, heck, can you get wrong putting a dot on a picture?
Oh, you'd be surprised. Oh, yes, this is bliss.
Oh, go on, Nigel, I've never sold a picture before.
What about them embroideries at Christmas?
I don't think they'll talk about this. Okay, Eddie, come on, I'll come with you.
When will I get the money?
Eddie!
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Clary. We're used to starving artists. Do you think anyone would mind if I take my shoes off?
My feet used to kill me.
And I weren't even expecting twins. I must say, Elizabeth, it's a lovely dress.
Oh, thank you. Mum helped me choose it. It was rather expensive, but then I'm going to need something for Christmas.
Do look at Eddie. Please just punch.
Well, it's a good feeling selling something.
Next thing, he'll be converting the turkey shed into an art gallery.
Not with the turkey still in it.
Ooh, that could be a sort of...
special attraction.
Yeah.
Believe me, Clary, it's very, very hard work getting a gallery off the ground.
Now, can I get you in?
No, I'm fine. I'll just sit for 5 minutes before I start circulating again. You don't have to stay and keep company.
Oh, I don't mind. Tell the truth, I thought there'd be a few more people I knew it.
There's still plenty of time for people to turn up.
What time are you shutting?
Supposedly 6, but if there's still people here...
I'll be gone long before that. I want to get all the dinners sorted for next week. I'm going to be covering for Pat in the dairy.
I suppose they'll have to get in quite a lot of extra help.
Yeah, it's 3 of them they've got to get in cover for. Fortunately, Neil's coming in full time, so he's going to do the pigs and the afternoon milking, and then my Eddie's going to come in when he can. But if the trial goes on for a long time,
It's going to cost him a lot in labour.
Simon!
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. Hey, isn't this great?
Thanks. We're pleased.
Looks like they're selling really well. You bought anything?
Me? No. I thought you were coming with Debbie.
That was the idea, but then she got a call from Brian.
She had to confess about the car.
There seems to be a bit of a mystery about that.
No one's tried to pick it up, then?
Yes. Brian.
Brian?
Oh, Debbie! Great. I was just trying to explain about...
Elizabeth. Hi, Clary.
Hello.
You're still in one piece.
Come on, we're dying to know what happened.
It's all Kate's fault.
Thought she were away.
She is, only she forgot to give me a message, which was that Dad was taking his car.
Oh, damn kid.
I thought the police had found it at Waterloo, which is where Dad had left it because they went to Paris on the Eurostar.
So it weren't ever stolen in the first place?
No.
You went through all that for nothing. Oh, Debbie.
When I think of the time I've spent angsting about it over the past week.
What worries can a girl like you?
Hi, Eddie.
He's just said one of his pictures.
Oh, well done.
So, what's your problem?
Oh, Debbie was just telling us how the police found Mr. Aldridge's car.
I hope they caught whoever it was red-handed.
It was Brian.
What? They arrested Brian Aldridge.
The police didn't go quite that far, did they, Debbie?
No, and I suppose I should be grateful the thing wasn't stolen in the first place.
So Brian won't be sharing a cell with Tommy Archer, then?
Eddie.
Sorry, was it something I said?
Members of the jury, the case you're about to hear is a simple one. In company with others, the defendant, Thomas Archer, carried out the willful and deliberate destruction of a crop of genetically modified oilseed rape belonging to the company Bealtech. Now, you may be tempted to think he was acting out of the highest motives, that he was simply trying to protect the interests of those living and working in the area from the supposed risks of genetically modified organisms. Indeed, this is a conclusion the defence will invite you to draw, that Thomas Archer had lawful excuse for his actions. They will bring before you an array of experts to cast doubt on the safety of these crops. We, the prosecution, intend to call our own experts to counter this alarmist view. But I would ask you, members of the jury, to concentrate on the plain facts of this case. These are that on the evening of May the 13th this year, the defendant committed an act of criminal damage to the property of others, and he did this not out of high ideals or honest belief, but out of bravado and hot-headedness. In other words, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Thomas Archer is no selfless environmental hero. He is, in fact, a common criminal whose selfish act has caused widespread distress and upset. And during the course of this trial, you will hear some of the
it's
consequences
right, love.
Of this act.
It's not all right.
The cost in time and money to
it's
a valuable
horrible.
Research program.
I knew it would
one
be.
That may have had major benefits for mankind.
I may not be able to see them very well, but I can always tell when Charlie's after a pheasant.
She's gone quite a long way. Do you want me to call her back?
No, it does her good to have a run off the lead. It's got so difficult for me to give her a proper walk.
You still get out most days.
Usually it's only round the village green.
And now you have to wait until after Christmas for your operation.
I try not to let it get me down. But you know what it's like when you have time to think about things.
Oh, only too well.
Once it's done, I mean... what's she doing now?
Waiting for us to open the gate.
Come here, Charlie. Come on. We're not going across the fields today.
Well, I'm wearing my stout shoes.
I would go on. But I can't cope with Charlie getting covered with mud at the moment. We'll turn round, and then she'll follow us.
I'm most impressed by how much this wood has grown since I last saw it.
George was telling me that we'd lost some of the saplings.
Only a few here and there.
I can't tell. Is this one dead?
No. It just hasn't done as well as some of the others. When I remember what this place was like when you first explained to me about the Millennium War...
Yes, a lot of people thought it was pie in the sky. Mm. But then Brian came up with the land. Oh, you know, he's giving evidence today.
No, haven't.
Oh, yes. Charlie, come on, good dog. No, Brian's one of those people I always find contradictory. Doing something to benefit Ambridge one day and planting a GM crop the next.
Put like that, it does make it difficult to see him in black or white.
You could say that about me.
What do you mean?
I've offered to be one of Tommy Archer's character witnesses.
I can't think of anyone better. A fine, upstanding member of the community.
But what if the prosecution tells the jury that I took part in the bypass protest?
And why should they say anything about that?
It just occurred to me, talking about the trees. That's where a lot of the acorns came from.
I think you're worrying quite unnecessarily.
You don't think I should mention it to Usha?
No, I don't. I think she's got quite enough on her plate.
I was surprised when you said you'd like to come for a walk this morning.
One, Usha wouldn't want me in court. And two, my job is to look after her so that she's free to concentrate on the trial.
Was she nervous this morning?
Yes. But then, as I told her, once the trial begins, she'll feel much better.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Could you tell the court your full name?
Michael James Parrish.
And you are UK Technical Director of the company Bealtech?
I am.
Could you tell us a little about Bealtech's activities, Mr. Parrish?
Yes, we're a research-based company with interest chiefly in agriculture and healthcare. We currently operate in more than 40 countries around the world.
And would you describe yourselves as a major player in genetically modified crops?
Certainly. Our GM rape variety has received approval in several countries. It's already being grown commercially on approximately 4 million acres.
But not in this country?
No. In the UK, we have a license to carry out a small number of trials. We're looking at its field tolerance to the broad-spectrum herbicide Banulim.
And did one of those trials take place at Home Farm Ambridge?
It did.
With what result?
Unfortunately, the data produced by the trial was severely compromised following the destruction of approximately one-third of the crop by vandals.
Did you inspect the crop before the damage took place?
Not personally, no. But my field manager looked at it on the Monday. That was 3 days before the incident. She told me...
Well, we can't hear what she told you. But the jury have already heard her statement, stating that it was looking very promising with optimum plant population, and indeed it should have yielded very well. What about after the damage?
When I heard what had happened, I went down to see it myself. That was on the 14th. It was all a bit of a mess, I can tell you. Someone had apparently taken a scythe to it, or a sickle, or something like that. Quite a lot more had been trampled on.
Were you able to continue with the trial?
Yes, but as I said, it won't produce the information we were hoping for. And, of course, we've had damage to two of our other trial sites.
So, can you tell the court what effect this will have on your trial programme?
It's hard to be precise at this stage, but it could well delay the commercial introduction of this variety by up to a year.
And what will this mean to you as a company?
It'll cost us a great deal of money. As you can imagine, it's not easy putting a cost on any one particular incident.
Are we going to challenge the numbers?
Oh, I think we should. They're definitely on the high side. And we know that
they're trying it on, are they?
I'd say so.
Good. If we can make our Mr. Parrish look a bit shifty...
That won't do us any harm.
Quite. And then we'll hit him with the environmental threat. See if we can scratch off a little of that corporate shine.
Staffing costs, seeds, fertilisers, the rent...
Smarmy, isn't he?
Parrish?
Yeah. You notice how he keeps doing that thing with his cufflinks?
Oh, can hardly miss it.
I'm sure Manderson's cross-examination will sort him out.
I hope so.
Come on, Pat. It's only the first morning.
They called Tommy a common criminal.
Well, that's not what the jury's going to think when they've heard the rest of the evidence.
He was doing it for us, Tony, for our farm, for our livelihood.
Yeah, and we're proud of him. So we mustn't let Tommy or anyone else see that we're upset, OK?
Oh, here you are. How's it going?
Rather a slow start, I'm afraid.
Well, there was a bit of a delay about swearing in a couple of the jurors.
From your side or the prosecution's?
Theirs.
I would have been here earlier, but I've had Jennifer going on at me.
Not interested in what she thinks.
Oh, it wasn't about the trial.
How was their holiday?
Fine. They went to Paris.
Oh, nice.
Jennifer said it was very relaxing until they got back. Brian was trying to get into the car when he found himself surrounded by policemen.
What? Brian did?
They thought he was the person who'd stolen the Merc.
How?
Oh, it's a long story. But apparently all the good work the holiday had done on Brian went straight out of the window.
So, what did they do? Arrest him?
Pretty nearly.
Oh, that's the best one I've heard for a long time.
So within seconds of getting back, Brian was ranting and raving.
Oh, no surprise there, then.
Jennifer's trying so hard to keep the peace between him and Debbie over this Simon business.
You'd think Brian could leave him alone.
I've been wondering if there was anything I could say.
Well, now's your chance.
What?
Over there, look.
Brian.
Who's he talking to? Looks very important.
That is Michael James Parrish.
Yeah, the technical director of Bealtech. They're obviously great mates.
He's the one
who thinks that GMOs are a great idea. Oh, look at him. patting Brian on the back.
Tony, where are you going?
No, I'm sorry, Mum, but it's going to be bad enough seeing him standing up against my son without having to watch him being pally with the opposition.
Mr. Parrish, perhaps you could explain the purpose of this Ambridge trial.
The purpose?
What was the objective? What was it you wanted to discover about this wonderful new variety of yours?
The principal aim was to establish its performance under field conditions.
You wanted to see how well it grew?
Well, yes.
When sprayed with your company's own broad-spectrum herbicide product name Snap, I understand.
We weren't solely interested in yield.
In whose interests was this research carried out, Mr. Parrish? Your own company, obviously.
Naturally, we want to get the product to market.
And who else stood to benefit from this trial, Mr. Parrish? Farmers, I suppose.
Well, if they don't, we shan't be selling very much seed.
No, quite.
The aim is to give them easier, more effective weed control. And hopefully bigger profits.
And what benefit can the public expect from this trial?
The public? Well, cheaper food, eventually.
Ah, yes, cheaper food.
That's the payoff for any advance in farming technology.
And what about a decent environment? Biodiversity. Isn't that something the public might be interested in?
Of course. And we as a company are very concerned about it too.
Are you? And what are you doing to ensure it's not going to be harmed by your GM rape?
We carry out environmental monitoring at all our trial sites.
And what are you measuring? Invertebrate populations?
Well, no. We don't look at that.
What about bird populations?
We're not really on a big enough scale to impact on bird numbers.
So what precisely are you looking at, Mr. Parrish?
We've been looking at weeds in the crop. Whether they can be left to grow longer now we've got better weed control.
And how many years have you been investigating this?
This will be the first year.
I see. So you've had this product under development for 12 years. And it's only now you've decided to look at its impact on the environment.
It's not easy. You can only do it when you get near market.
Well, let's be honest, shall we, Mr. Parrish? You're not remotely interested in the effects of your products on wildlife.
That's not true.
Isn't this precisely why the government is now having to fund field-scale trials of GM crops? Because companies like yours have failed to do the basic ecological research.
No, that's rubbish.
Yes. 15 love to us, I think, Pat.
Bert! Bert! Hang on a minute! What time do you start this morning?
Oh, the cows aren't going to like this.
It'll be fine once it's been compacted.
That's why I thought I'd better get him over. How are you doing?
It's ridiculous. I feel all churned up. All I'm doing is giving evidence.
That's the majesty of the law.
I can't wait until I've said my piece and it's all over.
David?
What?
Huh. No need to greet me like that.
Sorry, Dad. No, it's just I'm off to Felpersham in a minute.
Well, that's what I've come to tell you. Ruth's having a quick shower and then she'll be ready.
OK.
Is there anything particular you want me to have a look at?
I suppose you ought to get over to Hollowtree, Bert.
Ooh, it'll be a lot easier for me to carry on here now we've started.
Well, perhaps I could do Hollowtree.
Well, if it's such a problem, I'll do it when I get back.
But you've no idea when that could be.
Yeah, I've been warned about cross-questioning.
This whole thing's been so unfortunate.
I'm going to get enough of this in court. Can we change the subject, please?
Your mum said last night she thought you were nervous.
What gave her that idea?
Well, you went up to your room very early.
Honestly, Ruth and I wanted to watch a film.
Ah.
Look, I better go and get changed. As long as I know everything's going to be okay here.
Oh, don't you worry about us. We'll sort out Hollowtree between us.
Well, now then, boss. What do you reckon to all this fuss over French beef?
Well, if they've been putting sewage sludge in their animal feeds...
Disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly is. And when you think of all the hoops we've had to jump through to make our beef safe...
Well, oh, you reckon we ought to ban it. French beef, oh, you mean?
Oh, no, hang on, Bert. Don't get ourselves into a trade war.
Don't we, boss?
Well, if the experts tell us this beef's safe, I think we've got to accept that, even if the idea does seem horrible.
Well, I wouldn't fancy eating it.
But there's one thing I am sure of. We've all got to produce to the same standards. French, English, all of us. It's the only way to go.
Of course, by the time we got back to the field, they'd gone. They'd legged it.
Why, of course?
Sorry?
You expected them not to be there?
Oh, I see. Sorry. Well, they weren't going to hang around, were they? I mean, once me and Ruth had caught them at it, it's obvious.
But as I understand it, these groups are usually rather proud of what they're doing.
This lot weren't.
No. Well, they had given you a black eye, hadn't they?
Miss Holford, you know better than that.
I'm sorry, Your Honour. Tell me, Mr. Archer,
Did you recognise any of these people?
No.
They were all strangers?
Well, no, not exactly.
Of course, it was nearly dark, wasn't it?
Yes, but it wasn't just that.
Well?
They had their faces hidden with balaclavas.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
They were wearing balaclavas, most of them. And a couple of them had scarves, you know, wrapped around their faces.
I see. So you didn't recognise any of them?
Not really.
Well, did you recognise them or didn't you?
Somebody shouted something and it sounded a bit like someone I knew.
And who was that?
Tommy Archer. But I could easily have been wrong.
Well, we know he was there.
It definitely wasn't him who hit me.
How can you know that, if you're not even sure that it was his voice?
Well, I am pretty sure. I think he was trying to pull the other guy off.
Are you certain?
I am. Anyway, it wasn't anything much, and it didn't hurt or anything. The bruising had gone in a couple of days.
Just confine yourself to answering the questions, would you, Mr. Archer? There's no need to give us a medical history.
Sorry.
Now, if we could turn to the statements you made to the police.
Oh, thank God for that. Right, Jolene, you're a free woman.
You haven't got all the way here to turn back at the last minute.
Sit. Well, you haven't seen what it says on the door.
Huh?
Closed due to power failure.
Oh, isn't that typical? The one free morning and the gym's shut.
I can't say I'm exactly heartbroken.
It's because you don't know what you're missing.
So what are you planning to do now?
Well, don't know. I told Cathy I wouldn't be back till after lunch, see?
Freedom.
Yeah. And you don't get much of that when you're tied to a pub.
Well, then let's make the most of it.
Awful lot of things I could be doing.
Well, I could drop in at our Nicky's. But you know what? I think I'd rather have a drink than a cup of tea.
Can't remember the last time I sat down with a beer.
If you feel like keeping me company, I think I could run to buying you one.
Oh, right, well, where are you suggesting?
The tavern?
Tavern? Like, I haven't been in there since that new guy took over.
Well, then now's your chance.
Know what? Might even take you up on it.
I imagine you've been farming in Ambridge a long time, Mr. Archer.
Yes, all my life.
So you'll know Mr. Brian Aldridge pretty well.
I know all the farmers around here.
You must be quite a tight-knit community.
I suppose we are.
Looking out for each other, lending a hand when someone's in trouble.
Yeah, up to a point.
So when you saw a group of youngsters setting about your neighbour's crop, you presumably felt quite angry.
Yes, I did. I admit it. It's instinctive for a farmer. You see someone damaging a perfectly good crop, never mind what it is, you just flip.
And that's what you did, is it? You just flipped?
Well, I wasn't about to suggest we all sit down and talk about it over a cup of tea.
No.
Yes, all right, I probably did go in a bit hard.
Are you saying you were aggressive?
Yes, all right, I was aggressive. I asked for it. I mean, if I'd been a bit more sensible, I probably wouldn't have got thumped.
So you don't have any ill feelings?
What, about the black eye? No, of course not. Like I said, I probably asked for it anyway.
And you wouldn't say they were particularly violent, this group?
No, only this one guy, and he probably thought that I was about to smack him on the way I charged in there.
And as far as you could tell, Tommy Archer took no part in this fracas.
No, I told you, he was trying to stop it. He was trying to pull the other guy off.
That's right.
I don't agree with what they did, though. To the crop, I mean. That was stupid.
There we go.
What was it made you get into the fitness lark in the first place?
Jamie.
Oh.
I didn't want people looking at us together and thinking I was his granddad.
Some chance of that.
Well, no.
Is he enjoying after him?
Yeah. But, well, he doesn't seem to settle in at school like we hoped he would.
Oh, I thought going to a local school with lots of friends.
No, the trouble is he's a lot younger than most of them.
When's his birthday?
Yeah, July.
That does make him the baby.
I mean, it's not bright.
You only have to hear kids talk about their ages to realise the difference there is between being 4.5 and 5. Whereas, when you get to our age...
But I've got to admit, I'm not looking forward to him going back on Monday.
I can remember carrying Fallon into school once. She'd done that thing of going dead rigid.
Oh, yeah.
Even now, it makes my blood run cold to think of it.
Yeah, Cathy finds it even harder than I do.
She would. Call me unreconstructed if you like, but I still think that when it comes to kids, there's something that only a mother's got.
You know something?
Huh?
You was right about him keeping a good pint here.
Is that supposed to be a hint?
Nah, I'll be over the limit. Besides, I should get back. Get on with the arrangements for bonfire night.
Well, fire's getting on quite well.
Oh, you know why, eh? It's all the stuff they ripped out of Woodbine Cottage.
What sort of food are you doing?
Oh, usual sausage, baked potatoes. Well, unless you can come up with a better idea.
I'll leave the food to you and Cathy. What are you going to say to her about the gym being shut?
Well, in Cathy, she won't even ask. Oh. Besides, I have had me exercise. I mean, look, cheers.
Professor Armstrong, as a toxicologist of wide experience, would you say there were any particular health hazards associated with this technology?
None that I know of.
So, in your view, foods derived from genetic modification are perfectly safe?
There's no reason to think they're any less safe than other foods.
What does that mean exactly?
A lot of the worries people have about GM foods apply just as much to ordinary foods, the ones we produce by conventional methods. Take food allergies. That's something a lot of people are concerned about, but you can get allergic effects from both types of food, conventional foods and GM foods.
And would you say the safety tests were adequate?
I'd say they were more than adequate. We have an independent committee of experts looking at all these new foods. It's the committee's job to vet every new application that comes along. And they're no soft touch, I can tell you.
No?
Well, let me give you an example. You may have heard there's been some concern over the possible risk of feeding farm animals with GM maize containing an antibiotic resistance marker.
That's right.
The committee has said these markers should be phased out, even though any risk is very small.
What about the possible allergic effects? Would you say that there was a risk with this particular gene modification?
It's true that any new gene construct can cause the production of new proteins, and in rare cases these might lead to allergic reactions. But in the case of a rape crop, it's the oil that's going for human consumption. There wouldn't be any of the gene element left in the final product. The proteins would be removed during processing.
So, in your view, Professor Armstrong, the public are already well protected against any possible health risk?
I believe they are.
Thank you.
Professor Armstrong, you've told us you have a great deal of confidence in the safety assessments for GM foods.
Yes, I have.
Perhaps you could give us some idea of the form these assessments take.
Well, yes. The committee would require a detailed description of the new food and how it's produced. That would include a full description of the genetic modification process. They would then evaluate any possible toxicological effects or nutritional effects arising from that modified food.
Do they carry out any feeding trials using animals?
Not as a routine, no.
Well, why not? It's done with new drugs. As you know, these are fed to laboratory animals, sometimes at high doses, so any toxic side effects would show up.
That would be impractical with new foods.
Would it? Why is that?
With a new drug, you're dealing with very small quantities, so you can easily incorporate it into the animal's normal diet.
Well?
Whereas to test a new food, you have to feed a large amount to get a worthwhile result. But how are you going to get animals to consume it in these quantities? They have their own diets, and they have limited appetites. It would be impossible.
Let me be clear, Professor Armstrong. For new types of food that people may consume in huge amounts over a lifetime, there are no feeding trials.
Well, what would be the point? They wouldn't produce any worthwhile information. Much better to rely on the experience of independent experts.
Well, you think so?
Whenever the committee assesses a new food, they use an idea known as substantial equivalence. They compare the new food with the existing food it's supposed to replace. Any differences they look at very carefully. They can then make a decision on whether the new food is equivalent to and therefore as safe as the existing food.
That's all very well when your experts are dealing with the sort of problems they've encountered before, but this is very new technology. What happens when it throws up something unexpected, a new toxin, say?
I think the committee would generally anticipate that.
Well, perhaps you could tell me how. Are they clairvoyant?
As I said, it's a matter of experience. These are some of the leading experts in their fields. They won't give approval to anything unless it's totally safe.
Jill?
Hang on a minute.
Well, I hope Elizabeth's approved.
Sorry?
That fabric. It's not very babyish.
It's not for the twins, Phil. It's Pip's Halloween costume.
Oh, when you hold it up like that.
I thought I'd try and get it done before I went to court this morning. I've only got one more seam to do.
It's going to be very stressful for Tommy. Mm. David was absolutely wiped out when he got back yesterday.
Jill, let's go for the chance of some coffee.
I'm afraid you'll have to make it yourself. I'm going to put the sewing machine away and then set off to Felpersham.
I've been thinking about Tommy all morning.
I know Usher and the barrister will have briefed him.
But he's still terribly young.
Has the consultant arrived yet?
Well, that's why I'm making the coffee. He's having a quick look at the figures before we go to Hollow Tree.
Ruth, can you go and answer the consultant's questions?
Yeah, I'm just coming.
He'd hardly switched his computer on before he started coming up with suggestions, all of which involve spending money.
Well, he hasn't even seen the unit.
Precisely. I knew from the beginning it was going to be spend, spend, spend.
Oh, David.
Well, I want to get out and see how the new tracks are getting on.
The best thing would be for the three of us to discuss it this evening.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, have we got something else planned?
I'm not spending an evening with you going on about how pigs are cyclical and David moaning about how much they've already cost us. What I'd like is a nice family evening.
What do you mean?
Sort of evening we used to have, when David was young.
What, Kenton cheating at Monopoly?
Well, what I used to enjoy was singing round the piano.
I can't remember the last time we did that. Not all of us together.
I'm not ashamed of what I did. I had to do it.
Why did you have to do it, Mr. Archer?
Because they're dangerous, these things. Once they're out in the environment, you can't ever get them back, no matter what havoc they cause.
And what particularly are you worried about?
Loads of things. The environment, people's health, what it's going to do to our business. How much do you want me to say?
Let's take the environment first. Tell us about your concerns over that.
Well, this is a GM rape crop, right? So you'll get this gene crossing with wild plants in the area. Things like wild radish or wild mustard. It's not a question of if it happens, it will happen. The only question is when.
And do you think this matters?
I'm sure it matters. You get these modified genes into weeds or wild plants, and it's like you're bringing in totally new plants. You don't know what's going to happen. It could affect the whole ecology.
I see.
Then there's the herbicide Banyulin, the one this crop's been genetically modified for. It's a broad-spectrum herbicide, right?
Broad-spectrum?
That means it kills a whole range of weeds, not just one or two.
Right.
You get a lot of farmers growing this GM variety, and they'll be sloshing on the herbicide like it's going out of fashion. And what's that going to do to our wildlife?
But we've heard from Mr. Parrish that there'll be less herbicide used, not more.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
But if the weeds can be left to grow bigger before they're sprayed, that'll help the wildlife, won't it?
I can't see many farmers doing that. They'll want to knock out the weeds early for all sorts of reasons. To stop them carrying over disease, for one.
I see.
And once you kill all the weeds in a crop, you knock out everything else. The insects, the birds, the small mammals, the lot. Look at what conventional farming has done to the bird life of this country. Bird populations on farms are going down and down. If everyone starts growing these herbicide-tolerant crops, they're going to be wiped out altogether.
So you are concerned for the general environment?
Yeah, and for the business as well. We've got an organic farm.
Quite.
OK, so maybe this year we didn't grow anything that could cross with GM rape. There was nothing that was going to be flowering at the same time. But once you get this gene out in the environment, in the weeds and that, maybe it'll pollinate something we're growing next year, or the year after. It's like a time bomb.
Right.
Plus, you get all this GM pollen flying about, it's going to land on our crops. Some of our customers buy organic stuff because it's GM-free. What's it going to do to our business if we can't guarantee that anymore? I never really had any choice. You can see that, can't you?
Hold the head still, will you?
If you knew how often Pip's begged me to let her get her ears pierced.
I think she'd look good with a set of ear tags. There you go.
David, what are we going to do about this evening?
Well, I wasn't the one who let us in for parlour games.
Neither was I.
What I don't understand is why Mum and Dad remember them with such affection.
Oh, weren't they the epitome of family life?
Far from it. Yeah. Next tag, please.
Just let me get the details down.
No, none of us ever wanted to play the same thing. Kenton and I always wanted Murder in the Dark, which we weren't allowed to because it always ended up with Elizabeth getting hysterical. And Shula had this ghastly horse racing game.
But what about the singing?
Well, I don't remember that at all.
There you go.
Yeah.
So dreadful, you've blanked it from your mind.
Come on, back this way.
The thing is, Pip and Josh will enjoy it.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
I think I can put up with it, as long as we're allowed the heating on. Now, if you finish with me here, I'd better get back to this consultant.
You really have a remarkably selfless concern for the environment, Mr. Archer. It's an example to all of us, I'm sure.
I'm no different from most farmers.
Unfortunately, most farmers don't go around committing willful acts of vandalism to their neighbours' crops.
If that's what you want to call
it. Especially when those crops are designed to protect the very environment you claim to care about.
How do you work that out?
We've already heard from Mr. Parrish of Bealtech that his company was extremely concerned about the environment.
Well, they would say that, wouldn't they?
Well, they were, in fact, carrying out their own environmental monitoring. Thanks to your activities and those of your friends, we shall never know the result.
They weren't doing proper monitoring.
Isn't it you, the so-called eco-activists, who are preventing the scientists finding out the real environmental impact of this technology?
No.
But every time the government, or a bona fide country, plants a trial crop to provide some answers, someone like you goes and destroys it. That's a fact, isn't it?
They're too risky.
What makes you think you have the right to stop people getting at the facts?
They're not getting the facts. That's the whole point.
Not your version, perhaps. People have never been told the truth. They're trying to get GMs through by stealth.
So it's all right to destroy a perfectly good research trial?
No.
No, of course it isn't.
I meant, no, it's not like that.
Most people would consider your action profoundly undemocratic.
Most people would support us.
Are you proud of what you've done, Mr. Archer?
I'm certainly not ashamed of it.
You think of yourself as a hero, a champion of the people.
It's just something that had to be done.
Perhaps...
A couple of the others could have been difficult for them.
Oh, I see. You were doing it to protect your friends. You decided to carry out this noble act under the cover of darkness. I imagine you're something of an expert on genetic modification. Am I right, Mr. Archer?
I know something about it, yes.
So you'll be very familiar with the concept of horizontal gene transfer?
The basics, anyway.
Let me read you something. The genes used in this technology are condensed genes. They carry only the essential components without fillers and spacers or meaningless DNA. You understand all that?
Not all the technical details.
But it's from the report of one of your own experts, Dr. Colin Finch.
Is it?
Tell me, Mr. Archer, when did you first come across Dr. Finch's work on genetic engineering?
I don't know exactly.
Did you know about it when you carried out your act of vandalism?
Well, no.
Had you ever heard of him?
No.
Even though he was one of the leading researchers in the field?
I've read his stuff, I just don't remember the name.
Oh. And what about the others? Had you ever heard of any of the experts you're going to be parading before this court?
No.
None of them?
No.
So, at the time that you and your friends trashed this crop, you actually knew very little about genetic modification?
Yes, I did.
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, I did.
Let's be honest. This act was committed out of sheer bravado, fueled by a few half-truths you'd picked up from tabloid newspapers.
That's not true.
And now you're marshalling a lot of scientific experts to make it appear you're well-versed on the issue.
No.
The truth is that at the time of the offence, you knew almost nothing about it.
I've told you, I read loads of stuff.
But not by the people who mattered, apparently.
I just don't remember names.
But let me ask you something else. If you were so convinced that this trial crop posed a threat, what steps did you take to oppose it before you took the law into your own hands?
Well,
did you write to the company involved, Bealtech? Did you tell them about your worries?
Oh, a lot of notice they'd have taken.
So you didn't?
No.
Did you go to the civil courts? Did you attempt to obtain an injunction against them?
It doesn't work, we know that.
So you tried nothing else at all?
Well, I went and talked to Brian Aldridge. It was his land. I wanted to make him see the risks, especially to us. He wouldn't budge.
So you thought you'd teach him a lesson?
No.
In a fit of pique, you and your friends went over there with sickles and scythes.
It wasn't like
making
that.
No attempt whatsoever to find a legal way to challenge this crop. You took it upon yourself to decide what was best for the whole community. It was an impetuous and selfish act, wasn't it, Mr. Archer?
No, it wasn't like that. You've got it completely wrong.
And frankly, rather stupid.
Not looking good, is it?
No. Not the best day so far.
Tony, I'm scared.
No, come on, Pat. It's not over yet.
Yeah, but what
if... Let's just wait and see, shall we?
Well, what about this, then? Tom Pierce, Tom Pierce, lend me your...
I don't think your mum feels much like singing.
She's thinking about Tommy.
Sounds as if he had a bit of a rough ride.
And if it was anything like the time I had yesterday. Mm. Mind you, compared to this.
Come on, Ruth, you must know this one.
I know it's the Blade and Races, but I'm afraid I don't know the words.
Hey, call yourself a Geordie.
Oh, shut your gob, you.
Perhaps you'd be better off with a game.
Well, there must be something we all know.
What about One Man Went to Moor?
Oh, let's not start him on the subject of grass.
Pim, what would you like Grandad to play?
Play You're the One That I Want.
I don't know if he knows that.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
It's from Greece, Dad, you know, the musical.
Well, I'm none the wiser, I'm afraid.
Oh, what a great evening.
We're going to be doing this every night from now on.
Well, you'll be on your own tomorrow, because I'll be rehearsing the panto.
Oh, I don't suppose there are any more parts going.
Ruth, was that a suggestion?
I'm afraid I'm not very good when it comes to folk songs.
Ah, it's a pity that Uncle Tom's no longer with us, isn't it?
Oh, please don't play that, Phil.
Oh.
What would Josh like?
Bob the Builder's his favourite.
Well, I'm afraid that's another one I don't know.
Ever thought the generation gap was yawning?
I think I'd like a nice game of Monopoly.
What a good idea. Shall we go and find a board, Josh?
He's too small to even play Snakes and Ladders.
Well, he can help one of the grown-ups.
Perhaps we could sneak off and watch the telly in our room.
Come on, then.
Hang on, where's everyone going?
Well, we can't play Monopoly in here. There isn't a table. Are we going in the dining room, Jill?
You can't be serious. There's no heating on in there.
The kitchen will be
fine.
Oh, Bugsy, I'm the one me back to the auger.
Not if I get there first. What do you want to be, the top hat or the flat iron?
I don't mind being the old boot, as long as I'm warm.
Dr. Finch, as a geneticist, would you say genetically engineered crops were safe?
I'm afraid I couldn't. We have too little understanding about the impact of these plants on the environment. That's why we should proceed with the utmost caution.
You're not against research per se?
Well, not at all. But I don't think we should be doing it in an open environment. Not without taking all the necessary precautions to prevent gene escape. Once they're out there, there's no getting them back.
How might they escape?
Cross-pollination with a weed species. That's the obvious way.
How likely is this, in your opinion?
Very likely. Let's remember that rape pollen can be transported over long distances by wind and insects. I'd say that there was real potential for gene transfer from this crop.
So cross-pollination's a possibility. Anything else?
There's the process known as horizontal gene transfer. This is where genes cross species boundaries in ways we don't fully understand. But there's definite evidence that plant genes can cross to certain types of bacteria, viruses, or fungi.
And is this more likely to happen with genetically modified plants?
In my opinion, yes. This is a technology designed to move genes between species which don't naturally breed. We use special gene constructs to overcome the natural defense mechanisms that would normally degrade foreign genes. Unfortunately, it looks as though the process can be reversed. You could get modified plant genes being taken up by soil bacteria and then passed to other bacteria, or yeast cells, or plant cells, or even to mammalian cells. In a way, all species are linked.
And what's the significance of this for the environment?
Well, that's the point. We don't know. The side effects are totally unpredictable.
I see.
This is why we shouldn't be rushing to release GM crops into the environment, whether it's on a field scale or in small-scale plots. We've got to make sure they're safe. We can't let the commercial interest override the interests of the environment or human health.
Dr. Finch, you paint a somewhat alarmist picture of the threat, as you see it, posed by GM crops.
I believe the consequences are unpredictable at this stage.
Let's look at this rather sinister process of yours, horizontal gene transfer.
I didn't use the word sinister.
Isn't the process you describe one that's been going on for a long time?
Well, indeed it has.
In fact, hasn't it been going on throughout evolution?
Yes.
And yet a rose remains a rose. A butterfly remains a butterfly. A hippopotamus remains a hippopotamus.
I don't quite see the point you're making.
The point is that genes may, on rare occasions, behave in a promiscuous manner. But if this process had any great significance, the world would be in a permanent state of chaos, which clearly it is not. Wouldn't you agree?
I wouldn't, no. We could see this material recombine with wild-type pathogens to produce new virulent diseases.
Let's not get into the world of science fiction. Shall we stick to the facts?
I only wish we knew the facts.
We can agree, I think, that the DNA material in these gene constructs is derived from natural sources.
Yes.
In the crop we're discussing, the gene for herbicide resistance is taken from a bacterium, am I right?
But it's never been put together in this particular gene combination.
Nevertheless, it's from a natural source. It's no more likely to produce a rogue species than when it was part of the bacterial genome.
That's a matter of opinion.
Nor is a herbicide-tolerant plant likely to be any more hazardous to the environment than one that's produced by conventional breeding.
Again, I have to say, we don't know that.
Let me put something else to you. If these gene constructs were as unstable as you suggest, if they really were going to go jumping from organism to organism like fleas at dog kennels, why on earth would firms like Biotech be spending millions on developing these products? Surely they'd be better off putting their money on the horses.
How are you feeling now?
Fine. Nothing to report to the consultant, really.
What sort of things does he ask?
Am I tired? Have I felt any heart palpitations?
And have you?
Yes, a bit, but I'm not worried about them. I'm tired, though, Mum. It's really draining. I've never felt like this before. I'm tired even after a rest.
You must look after yourself. But I'm glad they're taking such good care of you here, too.
I know. Dr. Rose has been great. He always checks my heart to make sure the valve is behaving itself. But it's been fine so far. They're really keeping an eye on me.
And it must be a comfort for Nigel.
For both of us. He's been lovely. He was going to do the shopping today, but he won't be back from London in time.
If you want to go to the supermarket on the way home, I need to do a big shop.
Oh, it'd be great if we could.
I was going to do it on my way back from the court yesterday, but somehow I couldn't face it.
Sounds as if they gave Tommy a tough time.
By the time the prosecution had finished with him, he'd shrunk about 6 inches.
I bet they're all feeling the strain.
Tony looked dreadful.
I wonder what these two are going to put us through.
Mrs. Partiter?
Are you going to come in with me?
Do you want me to?
Mr. Wainwright, can you tell us what view the Soil Association takes on genetically modified crops?
Yes. We're against them.
Perhaps you'd tell us why.
Well, as you may know, we're authorised by the government to inspect and certify organic food and farming in the UK.
I see.
We started looking into this technology some time ago. As a result, our council, the Soil Association Council, concluded that we should oppose the genetic modification of crops in food and agriculture in principle, but in particular in organic farming.
And does this apply to all genetically modified organisms?
Absolutely. Consumers expect organic foods to be free of contamination.
And how do you police it?
By inspecting the farms and checking the source of any purchased materials. We also have the right to analyse samples of organic products for GM material.
What happens if you find them?
We can withdraw organic certification.
From those particular products?
Well, from land as well. And from crops. Wherever we think there's contamination, or even the risk of contamination.
By what means might contamination occur?
Well, three ways, really. You could get cross-pollination with related species. Say an organic farmer was growing the same crop as a GM crop next door.
Right.
Then there's cross-pollination with weeds or genetic spread to soil microorganisms. And finally, you could get the physical contamination of an organic crop by pollen or other plant residues.
And how do you decide when there is a risk?
Well, we look at a whole range of things. The prevailing wind direction, the topography, the distance between the organic crop and the GM crop.
Do you lay down a minimum safe distance?
Well, it depends on the other factors. But we expect to be informed if there's a GM crop within 6 miles of an organic farm. We call it a notification zone.
So, if there's a GM crop closer than that, an organic farmer could risk losing his official certification.
It's possible. But as I said earlier, it would depend on our assessment of the risks.
Thank you, Mr. Wainwright.
Your lungs sound fine. No sign of any collection of fluid.
Great.
Now, how's your breathing generally? Do you get breathless very often?
Yes, I do get breathless doing little things.
But no problems at night?
No.
You did say you were finding it a bit hard climbing the stairs.
No surprise at this stage of a twin pregnancy, Mrs. Archer.
Mum had twins herself.
Splendid. I'm sure she's giving you lots of good advice.
I do my best.
OK, let's have a listen then.
Is it all right?
Fine. As I've explained to Elizabeth, I'm just listening for any changes to check how well the heart valve she had operated on is functioning.
And it's working fine?
Well, I can hear that it's leaky, but it hasn't changed. As you know, it's been leaky for a long time without causing a problem. Your ankles are quite swollen, though, aren't they?
I try and keep my feet up as much as I can.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, Elizabeth?
I just... Oh, dear.
Go on.
I just feel impossibly weary all the time. There's so much to do.
Oh, Elizabeth, oh, darling.
I'm sorry, Mum.
Other people can do things for you now, you know.
There's nothing else wrong.
There's only one cure for tiredness, and that's rest. I'm going to sign you off work for the rest of the pregnancy.
Oh, good.
And you need to rest with your feet up in bed as much as you can. I want you to make an appointment to see me next week and to promise to be in touch if it gets any worse.
But there's the gallery and the new manager.
Nigel and Julia can sort all that out. And when Dr. Rose has finished with you, I'm going to take you straight back to Lower Loxley and you're going to bed for a bit.
Oh, let's be honest, shall we, Mr. Wainwright? This is a complete try-on.
Sorry?
You know as well as I do that if no GM crop is allowed within a 6 mile radius of an organic farm, there would be virtually no GM crops in Britain.
Well, that's not our concern. We have an obligation to protect the standards of organic food. That's the sole basis for our decisions.
And a couple of pollen grains on one of your precious organic cauliflowers would be enough to compromise its purity. Is that what you're saying?
They might be.
I doubt you'll find anywhere on earth clean enough.
We think consumers should have the choice, that's all. There's no choice if we fail to maintain our standards.
Let's talk about Bridge Farm, shall we? We've already heard that there were no compatible crops in flower at the time this GM rape was flowering, so there's no question of cross-pollination.
No.
Nor have we heard any evidence of related weeds on this farm. So are you seriously telling us that their organic status was in jeopardy because of the remote possibility that a couple of pollen grains might drift across from Mr. Aldridge's field?
It might have been.
It might have been. Tell me, Mr. Wainwright, what view do you take on contamination by pesticide drift?
I can't quite see the relevance.
Come on, we all know about spray drift.
It must happen all the time. Do you threaten to withdraw organic certification from all your members who have a conventional farm next door?
Well, that would be unrealistic. Anyway, organic farmers take steps to combat spray drift. And genetic pollution's different.
It's just another source of potential contamination, that's all.
No, it's different. It's irreversible. We have to protect the organic farmers' property rights.
And what about the rights of everyone else?
Sorry?
What about the rights of the community to conduct trials on a technology that may be of considerable benefit to mankind?
We'll go up the field as soon as we get home, see how they've got on.
They didn't have to do it today. Could have waited till next week. Well,
that's what I told Neil. But he insisted. He said with outdoor pigs, if you don't move them onto new ground at the proper time, that's when you get problems.
Oh, Mum.
Tommy, it's all right.
I've been such an idiot, haven't I?
No, you haven't.
When I stood there yesterday listening to it going on, Holford, I mean, you know, about how selfish it'd be.
I really don't like that woman.
She's right, though, isn't she?
Of course she's not right.
But look at all the trouble I've caused. Look at the upset.
Not half so much upset as there'll be if this whole GM business goes wrong.
And then today, all that technical stuff. When you hear the other side put over as strongly as that, you start thinking maybe I have got it wrong.
Now, listen to me. Never mind all that rubbish. It's posturing, that's all it is. Verbal camouflage. You know what this is really about. It's the principle you're standing up for.
I thought I was.
You are. And it's the right one. Whatever the outcome of all this, you've done nothing to be ashamed of. You've stood up for what you believe in.
I hope so.
I'll tell you something else. When your dad and I sit in that court and see you come under attack, well, we're worried about you. Of course we are.
Sorry.
But we're proud of you too. Very, very proud. Never forget that.
Recognise yourself, do you? Hey, don't try and eat it, you daft beggar.
Eddie!
In the little barn, Clary, love.
Oh, you ain't trying to get that coat of paint again.
I want her to put a moniker on this.
That's where my copy of the Echo went.
I reckon if Poppy and I can come up with some signed photos to go with her artwork.
Yeah.
The only trouble is she's not being very cooperative.
It's probably just artistic temperament. I've come to tell you I'm off.
Right.
Now, you ain't forgotten you're coming over to Bridge Farm.
I promised Tony I'll straw down the barn for the cows and I will.
Good, because Pat and Tony have got enough to worry about.
Yeah, might get the trial finished today.
All depends how long the summing up's take. Pat says the prosecution barrister can be ever so long-winded.
Oh, come on, girl.
Perhaps if you put the saucer of paint by her front foot.
I'll try that.
And you are going to do the other thing we talked about?
Yes.
It's going to be such a relief to me to have my butcher paid off.
Yeah, I know.
Then it'll only be the rent to worry about.
Ah, oh, morning, Eddie. Joe told me I'd find you here. Hi, Clary.
Hello, Mr. Aldridge. We don't usually see you around here this early.
No, I'm on my way to Felversham. But there are a couple of things.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any chance of you coming up to Home Farm with your ferrets? You know the bank over by Broadacre?
Oh, rabbits tucking into your winter cereals.
No, I'm afraid so. Yeah. And the other thing is, I've got some dog food in the car.
Would that be the Merc?
Eddie.
Fancy being arrested for stealing your own motor.
I don't know who you heard that from.
Well, you weren't led away in handcuffs?
No, of course not.
Mm. Well, I said that bit couldn't be true. Terrible how some people exaggerate
it. What about this dog food, Mr. Aldridge?
Well, I've been sent it as a sample, but Fly won't touch it. I wondered if William could use it for his dog.
That's very kind of you.
Well, there's about half a sack full.
Oh.
Where would you like me to put it?
Just by the kitchen door. Eddie, why don't you go and give Mr. Aldridge a hand?
No, it's OK, I can manage.
Well, all I've got to do now is get this under it. Oh, you disgusting animal.
I've heard of it hitting the fan.
Ugh.
Oh, look, I've got to go. I'll put the dog food by the kitchen door, Clary.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Thanks. Ugh. See you, Mr. Aldridge.
Oh, pass me that rag.
You won't be able to wipe it off. You'll have to have a shower. Well, nice of him to bring us some free dog food.
Oh, you know where he's going, don't you?
Selfish of me, sir.
I reckon he's got to see if they're going to put the boot into Tommy.
I'm glad you think the jury were listening to me.
Well, they certainly were.
Oh, yeah. You gave such a glowing report of Tommy, I hardly recognised him.
You mean you think I overdid it?
Oh, Marjorie, you were a brilliant character witness.
I so want to help him.
I'm sure you have.
Oh, now can you give Satya a message from me when you get home?
Of course.
I've got a date for my cataract operation.
Oh, Marjorie, that's wonderful news.
Yes. Seems like only a couple of weeks ago they were cancelling it.
This isn't from the health authority. It's from an organisation called Impact.
Is that the charity you told me about?
They're going to do the operation the weekend after next.
Hey, terrific.
I couldn't believe it when the letter came this morning.
They book you into a hotel for the weekend, is that right?
A hotel?
Yes. The operation's in hospital, but all the pre and post-operative care takes place in the hotel.
Oh.
A cataract isn't a very serious operation.
It'll make a huge difference to you.
If I was young enough, I'd be jumping up and down at the thought of it.
You'll just have to do it metaphorically.
In less than 10 days. Oh, put like that, it seems a bit close. But not to worry.
I know Auntie will be thrilled when I tell her. Tony...
No, it's okay. I've seen him.
Sorry, but who are you talking about?
Brian.
I thought he gave his evidence on Monday.
He did.
And now he just can't resist being here to see the outcome.
Well, if the jury have got any sense at all, he'll be smiling on the other side of his face.
And finally, members of the jury, let me just say that over the past 5 days, you've listened to a great deal of complex technical argument, some of it, no doubt, confusing. The defence has tried to present the genetic modification of crop plants as a hazardous and unpredictable technology. You've also heard from scientists who are convinced that this technology has huge potential benefits for mankind, and that it is being introduced with all proper caution. Indeed, the plot and field trials now taking place in various parts of this country are an attempt to evaluate the benefits of this technology as well as its safety for the environment. The defendant, Thomas Archer, thinks he knows better. He has taken it upon himself to make the decision for us. He and his friends are doing their best to trash these trials before they can produce any useful results. We are supposed to believe that Mr. Archer here is a selfless guardian of our environment and a passionate advocate for sustainable farming. But let's for a moment look at the facts. Has Mr. Archer ever shown any commitment to the environment before? Has he ever been a member of a conservation group? Has he ever campaigned on behalf of some threatened habitat? No. He has seized upon a fashionable issue, one that happens to be riding high in the media, and come to some ill-thought-out, naive conclusions. Conclusions which led him to a selfish act, a destructive act, an act born of malice, not ideals. On the 13th of May, he and his friends obtained the use of a van, by deception, and drove it to Home Farm, Ambridge. There they hid their faces with balaclavas and, under cover of darkness, set about the wanton destruction of an experimental rape crop. The results of that experiment might have held benefits for us all. And having been disturbed by a neighbour, this gang had no compunction about committing assault, even though this honest citizen was outnumbered by 6 or 7 to 1. We've heard the defendant played no part in this act of violence, indeed that he tried to prevent it. But you may think that someone prepared to embark on such a reckless venture with people like this has little claim to our sympathy. From beginning to end, this whole adventure was furtive, ill-considered, and sordid. Those who took part in it were no idealistic defenders of the environment. They were criminals, selfish, and totally indifferent to the interests of others.
No surprises there, then.
I don't think the jury's too impressed.
I wouldn't be so sure. Our friend in the blue jacket was lapping it up.
We were on to a loser with him anyway. The others look okay.
Right. Well, let's see if we can sign him up for the Tommy Archer fan club.
Over here, Eddie.
Where's Neil?
Gone back to do his pigs.
Yeah, he's pretty late.
Oh, we've all got to do our best for Pat and Tony. So, how'd it go with Mike Butcher?
It's all settled.
Oh, that's a relief.
Do you know what?
One.
He offered me another loan.
You didn't take it?
Of course I didn't.
Oh, thank God for that.
And I've got another bit of good news.
Do you think you could help me get these in the van while you tell me?
You were doing the deliveries.
Gets me out doing the paperwork.
Well, on my way back from Mike Butcher's, I called in at Lower Loxley.
Yeah.
I went in the gallery, and all Poppy's pictures had got red dots on them. They'd all been sold.
I don't believe it.
We're in the money gallery.
Hey, what about the framing and what you've got to pay Elizabeth?
Oh, it's called commission.
All eats into the profits.
That's 250 quid up. When I think what you and Dad said.
Hey, that money is going straight for the rent.
Oh, I tried to find out if Elizabeth wanted some more. Mrs. Pargett has said she was resting.
It seems to be never such a long morning, Eddie.
Oh, I told you it was all going to be okay.
Oh, I've been thinking about Tommy more than you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Glad I ain't on the jury.
These are honey.
Yeah, that's fine. I know he shouldn't have done what he did, but on the other hand, I can't help admiring him for standing up for what he believed in.
You know, I think that's our thing about it, getting caught.
That's
the whole point. That's what they wanted. Get everything out in the open. Mind your fingers. Are you going to get on with the storing down, then?
Ain't it horrible to think it's time to start bringing the cows in?
Just when you think of the cost of feeding them.
Clary, it's all going to be fine.
Do you want to try looking into my eyes when you say that?
Members of the jury, as we've heard in the past few days, GM crops are not without risk. There are uncertainties about this technology. Its widespread application may have unforeseen consequences for the environment. Consequences that the present round of trials will not necessarily elucidate. Now, imagine the effect of all this uncertainty on a young man living on an organic farm, close to one of the trial sites. He has grown up on that farm. He has seen the struggles of his parents to make a success of an enterprise that for years has been ignored by government and ridiculed by the agricultural establishment. Yet he shares with his parents the commitment to the organic way. He sees it as the only ethical way to farm the land. So much so that he runs his own organic enterprise, marketing the produce direct to the public. Then he watches a neighbour plant a crop that might possibly destroy everything he and his parents have worked for. I'm not just talking about the loss of their farm's official organic status, though this in itself would be devastating enough. The threat goes far deeper. It strikes at the very heart of this family's achievement, the little enclave of unpolluted countryside that they've created by so many years of effort. It's difficult for us, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, to comprehend the anxiety and concern felt by this young man, the defendant, Thomas Archer. He had seen his father made sick with worry at the situation. He'd watched his father's desperate attempt to rally opposition to this crop by calling a protest meeting at the village hall, but to no avail. The concerns of local people appeared to have no effect at all on the landowner, Mr. Aldrich, or the owners of the crop. What was the defendant to do? Faced with what seemed like the wanton violation of everything he held dear. Well, we know what he did. Out of concern for the consequences of what he considered a foolhardy experiment, he joined with a group of equally worried youngsters to try and remove the danger. He did it because he cared passionately about the environment we all share. He may well be wiser than the rest of us. So how on earth can we condemn him for it? I am sure you won't, members of the jury. Thank you.
Great. Are you Pat?
Yeah. Now it's up to the jury. It just goes on and on.
Well, it's nearly over now.
Is it? We don't know that. It might be just the start.
And the drama in Ambridge continues tonight at 7 o'clock and all this week, a week that Tommy is unlikely to forget. The Archers was written by Louise Page and Graham Harvey, and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Julie Beckett, and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.